So this morning, I'm actually going to read a sermon by Nadia Boltz-Weber. She is a theologian and a pastor in the Lutheran Church. And as I read this, it was exactly what I feel we need to hear today. So know that this sermon comes from Nadia Boltz-Weber. And if you want to know more about her or what she looks like, or how she talks, there's a lot of information on her, and you can Google her later. So here we go. A man was traveling on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho when a group of robbers or terrorists or racist cops attacked him by a suicide bomb or an AR-15 assault rifle or by shooting him as he lay on the ground, and they left the man for dead outside the airport, or on the floor of a gay nightclub, or in a Walmart, or in a car with his girlfriend, or along the route of a protest march. And the entire assault was captured on a bystander cell phone and immediately uploaded to Facebook within seconds. A Methodist pastor walks by and is so absorbed in watching the video of the attack and formulating her perfectly articulated outrage on Twitter that she doesn't even see the beaten man that is literally right next to her. She wants so badly to be the good ally that she misses an opportunity to show compassion to an actual human being right in front of her. Then the director of a nonprofit walks by and is too burdened by the way in which he himself is complicit in the availability of the weapon, or the bad conditions of the road, or the rigged economic system that contributed to the man traveling alone on an unsafe road, that he chooses to not even look up from his Poetry Almanac app. And he too missed the chance to show mercy. Now, by the time these two have passed the man, hundreds of thousands of people have left horrible comments on the video of his assault, either in turn expressing racist thoughts about why it was his own fault, or rants about the Second Amendment. And then a minute later, we all are posting comments about how this is all the is all about the robbers, when suddenly Salon.com has reposted the Facebook video of the assault along with an article entitled, "Why Everything You Think About Robbers Is Wrong." And then 1 minute later, Salon.com posts the Facebook video of the assault along with the article titled, "The Problem with Commenters." So now, by the time the Samaritan comes along and sees the man who was robbed and assaulted, gives him water in a Cliff Bar, dresses his wounds, gives him a ride to a hotel, stays the night with him to make sure he is okay, and pays the Marriott bill in full, well, by that time, the media has already posted thousands of articles about how often these attacks happen, and there is a 24-hour long news cycle that shows the video of his assault over and over and over, and HuffPost and CNN and Slate have all now told the story of the assault from every angle imaginable. It's all anyone is talking about, so it starts to feel like that's all there is. But then you realize there is absolutely no mention of the Samaritan. They never once mention the kindness. Violence is highlighted, and mercy and generosity are ignored, because mercy and generosity make bad news. I'm not sure about anyone else, but this week it started, and every week, it's starting to feel as though our news feed, TVs, and radios have been replaced with some sort of an atrocity of the day calendar of terrorist attacks and police shootings and hate crimes. Well, Nadia was lamenting about this, and a woman from her congregation named Megan came in and shared these words of wisdom from Stephen Gould, and he wrote these words after 9/11. Good and kind people outnumber all others by thousands to one. The tragedy of human history lies in the enormous potential for destruction and rare acts of evil, not in the high frequency of evil people. Complex systems can only be built step by step, whereas destruction requires but an instant. Thus, in what I like to call the great asymmetry, every spectacular instant of evil will be balanced by 10,000 acts of kindness. Too often unnoted and invisible as the ordinary efforts of a vast majority. We have a duty, almost a holy responsibility, to record and honor the victorious weight of these innumerable little kindnesses when an unprecedented act of evil so threatens to distort our perception of ordinary human behavior. So those were Stephen Gould's words. Now we go back to Nadia's. So, church, I stand here to say that I was so despondent about our atrocity of the day world, and as I was at the same time reading this story of the Good Samaritan over and over, there was something that was glaring, a simple thing in this story that made all the difference for me this week. It's a thing called column inches. Look at the story again. The entire focus of the story of the Good Samaritan was not on the violence or idiocy. The focus of the story was mercy and loving kindness. The robbers get about a dozen words, but the Samaritan gets the rest of the story because it is not a parable of the robbers. It's the parable of the merciful Samaritan. And yet this week, I was afraid to look away and see any good because to do so felt perilously close to pretending that the violence wasn't bad. But in the story of the merciful Samaritan, Jesus told the truth about the seriousness of the attack. To be sure, he told the truth about the inadequacy of how the priest and the Levite responded. But on none of these things did he dwell. He used most of his canvas to tell the story, painting a picture, not of the assault, but of the generosity. Which means there is another option. The choice is not going between ignoring the violence and suffering and thus glibly using our privilege to insulate ourselves from this present darkness, or focusing exclusively on the violence and suffering and glumly using our access to social media to see nothing but the present darkness. Evil might have the news cycle, but it does not have the victory. The darkness does not get to have our hearts. It does not get to fill our minds. It does not get to steal our joy. And looking for the love, the light, the kindness in the world around us is not the same as pretending evil isn't evil. As Christians, we can sit in the suffering. We can name the evil forces of racism and gun violence. We can confess our own complicity, and we can lament and protest. But what we can never do is concede more ground to Satan than he himself has claimed. We will not be deceived into reversing the math and believing that evil has numbers, because it does not. Omar Mateen, the Orlando nightclub shooter, was one man. The man who walked into the Walmart in El Paso was one man. His act of terrorism and murder and hate had a devastating effect on so many lives and in the city of Orlando. But you cannot tell me that the the evil of one man, one in response to millions of people all over the world marching in support and love for those affected. It's not vapid optimism, it's just math. What Omar Mateen intended for evil, God used for good. I will not choose nihilism. I won't do it. Not while I believe in the love of God. A God who defeated sin, death, and the devil. Evil rages, but it is also pathetic. So as an act of defiance tonight and today, we will surround the name. We will write down all the acts of kindness on our paper. If Stephen Gould's math is right, we need 10,000. But the good news is there is more than that out there. Because this world is not a parable of the robbers. This world is a parable of God's light, which shatters darkness. So by all means, let us name evil for what it is. Let's root out the sin and racism within us. Let's fight for justice. But then let us turn the cameras toward the light, lest we become so consumed by the effects of evil that we miss the chance to be kind to a stranger. And we miss the chance to stop and read to our kids, and we miss the chance to notice how acts of beauty and acts of kindness outnumber acts of evil by the thousands. Because in doing so, we hand evil a bigger victory than it earned, when in fact it has already lost. See, in the same 24-hour news cycle that can only speak of evil, babies were born, and people fell in love, and someone put an old lady's shopping cart back for her, and casseroles were brought to the homebound. And prayers were said. And little girls and little boys made brand new friends. And someone paid for the coffee of the person behind them. And children made perfectly misspelled protest signs. And people made up. And every second of every day, our God arrives unannounced in the merciful and loving kindness of other people, and in the midst of single acts of evil, I want to be a warrior of love. Amen.